BFF.m. I can't say that.
This is Arthildur from Pascal Pinon, and you're listening to BFF.fm.
Welcome to Burrito Justice League Radio. I'm your guest host, Mish, and I am honored to be joined here today by legend, Lincoln, Nebraska legend.
It's true.
Not Bernie Sanders. Hi, Bernie.
Hey,
welcome
how's it going?
To the show. It's
Thank
going
you.
Really well. We're just settling in here. Let's see. Let me make sure my... Great. Looks good.
Check, check.
Check, check. All buttons working. It's a beautiful sunny day here in the Mission.
It is. Good day for burritos.
A really good day for burritos. Mm. So I might out you right now a little bit because
okay.
we're popping Bernie's cherry. He's never listened to the show before, you guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's in for. I could be like dunking him with slime or some do some current kind of like wacky morning zoo stuff. You have no idea what you're in for.
Bring it. Yeah.
So I really appreciate you coming in, Blanche.
Chat.
Yeah. So we did happen to come up the BART stairs together and had a burrito. So the only format to the show is to open the show with talking about what kind of burrito you had for lunch and what we're continuing to nosh on.
Yeah, I've got a half of a carnitas burrito.
Nice.
Waiting for me.
I wish I could order half a burrito.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That's really sometimes. That's you most of the time. Or two-thirds of a burrito. Like, you just make that a little smaller.
You don't order the junior burritos? You don't?
The baby burrito? Yeah. I can't stand to say that word. Give me a baby burrito. Yeah.
Give me the full-on.
But I wish I could order half a burrito. So you've got a half a burrito remaining.
Maybe there's some kind of invention there. Like, you've got the bento box things. And maybe there's something where, like, the lid has, the knife, right? And you can, like...
Wait, what?
Like, it's cutlery? A little box, right? Yeah. Maybe, and then
what are you talking about cutlery and burritos for?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that you want a half a burrito.
Yeah, I do want half a burrito. I want them to make me half a burrito.
What
do you got for that? Come up with something.
Bring a little extra
cash. You're on a roll until you said knife.
Well, I didn't say... All right,
bento box. Sorry, sorry.
There may be some invention here that can solve your problem.
I know. I'll probably get excommunicated from San Francisco, though, if I come up with something like that.
I don't know.
It's just not maybe, cool.
Am I getting excommunicated?
No, you can stay.
Okay.
Because you can stay.
It's just a crazy idea, guys. Just let me riff on it for a little bit, and then it'll go away.
I totally interrupted. I'm a terrible host. I only do this as a guest gig. This is not my real job. Apologies. So you have half a carnitas.
That's right.
Bean choice?
Pinto.
Sour cream?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, I went regular today.
I copied you.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for I always get black beans for some reason.
I'm on a pinto kick. I just think it's...
Okay. Now, you recently tweeted a question to our community, and I don't know that you got a lot of response.
Oh, that's right.
You asked, and it would be great if people want to tweet in right now with their answer, best green salsa in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Did you get any answers?
Annie had replied, and I forget what she replied.
So do I. What'd you say, Annie?
Tell us.
That's a tough question.
It's my favorite. What's the secret ingredient in green salsa? Is it just
tomatillo?
Yeah, tomatillo and cilantro and lime, or I don't know.
Is there avocado in it? Because why is it kind of creamy sometimes? Drink it. Sometimes it's
two shots of.
Sometimes green salsa. They're thicker. Some are thicker than others.
I kind of like the creamier.
So do I.
Blend, yeah.
Like the one we just had.
Yeah, not
a little
so
too
much.
Thin.
Yeah. It didn't have enough like cilantro or lime. It was more like anyways.
There must be some jalapeno in it.
I would like the listeners to chime in on like...
Listeners, chime in. Best green salsa. Oh, I got something.
Well, I don't know. Hey, telephone.
You can check it.
Oh, I need to reach over here.
No. What, unrelated buzzing.
Tell them to tune in. Hey, Kai, what's your favorite green salsa? Kai is tweeting us. Do you know Kai? He hand makes chocolates.
I do
nosh
not know,
this.
But I think I need to know Kai.
Chocolates. This is soon. A plug right now for chocolate. But he's going to tell us about green salsa. He makes chocolate, so he has a good taste.
Yeah, it seems like this is the type of question that social media is really geared to help us all come to a solid consensus. I think we'll all be able to agree by the end of the day who's got the best green salsa.
I could make a poll, but then we would have to give people options. So we'd have to
it sounds
to come
too complicated.
Up with, it sounds
that's
complicated.
Way too much work. Make a poll.
Let's not. Okay.
Okay.
I'd rather not make a poll. Oh my God. You know what Kai just said?
Oh.
El Castito's green salsa.
No.
No, Kai. Wrong answer. It's funny because when you not so much.
No.
Maybe they're having an off day. I remember it being creamier.
My neighborhood burrito joint, the Beach Burrito on Judah and 44th, actually has a very nice green salsa.
Do they?
Yeah.
You know what? I have never had a burrito from there. Ever.
I don't know if their burritos are actually that great.
If you're really jonesing for a burrito, though, and
it's half a block away, so
yeah, that makes sense. What's their best kind?
The carnitas is pretty good. Is I think right? I had kind of a dry carne asada.
Oh, do they fry it up a la plancha before they give it to you, or they just scoop it out of the?
I think they do fry it up a little bit.
That's key.
Yeah,
that is key. That is why. Sorry, we're going a little long on this. That is why. Burritos elsewhere in this country kind of suck because they just scoop it out of their line, their steam table, and they're not using la plancha at all to give it a little crisp and heat it up. That's key. They don't know what they're doing.
A little love.
I could open up a burrito shop in New York City and make millions. We're not really here to talk about burritos. Oh, Kai, thanks for weighing in, but you were wrong. So Bernie is here because, I see him on the end Judah, and I was like,
staring at my phone.
He looks like an interesting dude. Maybe he wants to come on this radio show. No, true story. We do. That's kind of the only place I ever see you. Somebody asked me today, who's your guest today? I said, well, this guy from the train who also happens to have parented a child who went to the same elementary school.
Yep.
At kind of the same time. But I didn't know that really until almost afterwards. And also, I see him at Harley Strictly Bluegrass every first Friday of the weekend. We sit like 15 yards away from each other.
Rooster stage. Yeah.
Rooster stage. And that's how I know Bernie. But I've followed you on Twitter for a while and and on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you've got some big things going on lately, and I thought it was a great time to have you on. And I'm happy that you made the time to come
here.
Yeah,
thank you.
You duck out of work just like me.
Boom.
Yeah, we're sneaking out. So, where shall we start? Let's start with school. Let's get the boring stuff
out
of the way.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let's get the boring stuff out of the way. So, we shared an elementary school.
McKinley.
McKinley Elementary School, aka the best elementary school in all the
land. I had no idea. It was really great.
It was really great.
It was like fourth on our list, right?
It was third on my list.
And it was I think we were totally negligent parents and didn't like go to every school and do all our research and stuff. I think we had, what was it? Clarendon or some, those blah blah. Anyways,
you just do a little
San
reading
only
and that's
for a couple years. Okay. At that point, so we're like, oh, I guess this is a good school. Anyways, and then the school closer was McKinley, and we got that, and it ended up being a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Right.
Just a great community of other parents. It was really funny. There's this group of parents in my daughter's grade. And it was the initial parents getting together and having some beers and hanging out. And they were like, yeah, so Bernie, why are you in San Francisco? And I'm like, oh, well, tech job, blah, blah, blah. I have history in punk rock and you in Berkeley. Or I used to go see Fugazi all the time in D.C.
Is that like Miles? Are you talking about Miles?
Like John Chamberlain.
He had a band.
Yeah.
Shut
I think
up.
It was kind of like Wired for Death or something like that.
Shut up. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. I didn't know that.
And so it was just great because it was, of course, you guys were in punk rock bands too, or whatever.
Yeah. Unassuming, just looking like dads.
Yeah,
but just of course dads. You were in a punk rock band. Yeah.
Peel back that thin veneer of dad and you've got punk.
Exactly. What is there not to love?
Yeah. So, anyways, a great community, wonderful teachers. Couldn't have
we really
asked
lucked
for
out.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, we really lucked out. And now your daughter's in high school. Is her first year of high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Great. So you're 1 year ahead of. She's 1 year ahead of my eldest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Unfortunately, we didn't cross paths too much when we were
kind of random, but
yeah.
But now that I'm on the
end Judah, so we're best friends, obviously.
Awesome.
And we both live in the Sunset, obviously, if we're both taking the train together. Exciting stuff.
I love it.
Okay. So, let's see. Where do I want to go from here, Bernie? There's so many directions that we could go.
Roll the dice.
So, the big news is that you are currently exhibiting a photography show.
That's right.
Tell us about that.
Sure. So I've got a cardboard box full of photos and negatives and slides. In a former life, I was a skateboard photographer, rock and roll photographer. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and my next door neighbor had a skate ramp.
Okay.
And my dad had built a dark room beneath the stairs in our house.
Ah.
He taught me how to do photography.
Okay.
And
when did you get your first camera?
Oh, I think I inherited my dad's Pentax, high school. Maybe I was probably, some of the pictures that are in the exhibit are from 1984. So I was 14.
Wow.
And yeah, it was definitely my dad's camera.
Okay.
Then I think I got my own when I was maybe 17. Yeah.
So you're in Lincoln, Nebraska. Are you like suburbs or are you like downtown Lincoln, Nebraska?
I don't know.
I guess
it's not really suburbs.
Like it's Lincoln
it's just,
proper.
Yeah, it's just nice middle class neighborhood. It was pretty great.
Your next door neighbor had a
big half pipe, a big skate ramp in the backyard.
That must have been crazy.
It was pretty wonderful. not just having the access to something fun to do, but in 1983 and 1984. Thrasher magazine had coordinated a demo and a contest of professional skateboarders. So all the best names and Steve Caballero, Mike McGill, Jeff, anybody who was anybody.
Throw names back, around.
Lance Mountain.
I'm not going to know any of them.
That's all right.
That's cool.
At the time, skateboarding was totally dead.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we need to bring it to Middle America backyards. This is how we're going to revitalize skateboarding.
Okay.
And so they just chose my neighbor's backyard.
Get out.
So,
Two years
in a row, there were these pro skateboard events. And both years. Next door. Yeah.
That is amazing.
We had a number of pros stay at our house. In fact, the second year, Gator Rogowski, do you know the story of Gator? He was a pro skateboarder in the 80s. And then he's in jail for killing a woman.
Really?
Yeah, but so he stayed at our house.
Oh wow!
Weird
sister.
But anyway, so that was the environment, and of course in the early 80s, skateboarding and punk rock were just like tied at the hip.
Yeah.
And there was a really great creative community in Lincoln. I got into playing bands, doing photography, making fanzines and art zines and stuff like that. And anyways, I've got a whole archive full of photography. Had a friend named Steve who was like, Bernie, you need to just get this going. Let's put a show together. And so he pushed and prodded me and connected me with the space that it's at. Currently hanging at Paisley Skateboards headquarters here on 14th Street in the Mission.
Nowheresville
Gallery, yep. And I got like 65 prints put up and we just threw them up on the wall. And so it's old stuff. It's new, new skateboard, new rock and roll photography.
That's so cool.
It's fun.
I didn't do my due diligence. I was not able to go to the opening night. I had a prior commitment, so I didn't, if I was Terry Gross, I probably should have shown up. Unfortunately, that didn't work. I had this commitment that was like a month old. And I can't go to the show.
If you happen to miss it,
we've
got you covered.
Okay.
Yeah. If anybody's interested.
Give us the details now because we're going to be talking about this for the next 2 hours. So we'll repeat it. But
If anybody's interested, we can, I'll post it to Twitter, some of the contact information to see the exhibit by appointment. But we're coordinating a more public, permanent, not semi-permanent, location to display it the rest of the year.
Nice.
At a bike shop in the Mission.
Nice.
Stay tuned.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so that'll be great. So
cool. Then I can make it in.
You will.
Is it open anytime this week, for example? Or no?
There's no public hours.
Okay. And so you had this opening Friday night. Good turnout. I saw pictures.
It was
a little crazy.
My mom came out from Nebraska.
Aww.
It was awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. Is she familiar with the early works?
Yes.
Because, so you're a young teen, there's a half pipe next door, you've got this camera, so you start taking, were you fooling around with the camera before Thrasher magazine came out,
or not really.
Did that all just happen simultaneously? Yeah, that kind of
all happened. It was like just a great opportunity to have the best skateboarders in the world in your neighbor's backyard.
Yeah. So you were already like in tune with all of that. Like skating was a thing for you. Like,
yep.
Okay.
And so, yeah, from there I picked up the camera and got a couple pictures, which are actually in the show.
Yeah.
And
that you developed yourself.
Yeah. Underneath the stairs.
Yeah,
in a very enclosed area, just huffing all these photographic chemicals. Yeah. It's good. That's why I like
talk slow. Made you really creative. Sometimes. Yeah, made you really creative. So the photos that are hanging from back then, are those, did you redevelop them from negatives? Or
I scanned them, the negatives.
Okay.
I love to get in the darkroom again, but I don't have one.
Right.
I've always wanted to go to the Harvey Milk Center.
Harvey Milk.
And jump in the dark room and stuff.
Yeah, Harvey Milk Rec Center has do you have to book it? How does that work?
The Harvey Milk. You have to go through a training or a class to get you certified or whatever, and then you're in there.
Okay.
Sometime I'll do that. There's nothing like a real.
It's probably free.
I think so.
It's probably free.
Or pretty close to it if it's not.
Maybe like $5 or something. Nice. Let's break and play some music.
Okay. What do you want to hear?
Well, do you have some early stuff?
I've got some rock and roll.
Let's play some rock and roll. Whatever you want.
This is...
I'm starting to get hungry now. My half a burrito is...
You're half a burrito?
This is all about me.
One of the things that... So I moved to San Francisco 11 years ago. And one of my...
Newbie.
That's right. One of my... San Francisco's had such a great punk rock and music community. Mm-hmm. So the first song is a band called The Avengers.
Nice.
From San Francisco. I think this is probably 1978. Nice. And there's a couple other songs we'll listen to while we eat the other half of our burrito.
Sounds good. And then we can talk about it after.
Indeed.
I'm going to turn it up in here.
Try that.
We are not Jesus. Christ. We are not fascist. Hey. We leaving. I don't know if I should be believing. This time to perceive it. But if you don't mind. Just makes me feel you're putting me down. And if it's true, this pathetic clown will keep hanging around. That's if you don't mind. Just lying in my bed, I think you've got it in for me. Is it all in my head? Is it in my head? It convinces me when everything I see just makes me feel you're pulling me down. And if it's true, this pathetic clown will keep hanging around. That's if you don't mind.
We're back. Thanks for coming back. We still are looking for best green salsa in San Francisco.
This is pretty important.
Recommendations, votes. Come on, guys. Strangely silent out there about the green salsa. I'm not going to criticize you.
Yeah.
We're just I'm sorry. I criticize Kai. Maybe that's why nobody
crickets,
else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no.
Not the way to encourage community. And
no. Yeah. No. Bad. Sorry. So please, we're looking for your favorite. Let's not say best. Your favorite green salsa.
But by the end of the show, we'll understand what the best one is. We'll have a consensus
hopefully.
Across San Francisco.
Across San Francisco,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And perhaps even America. There are people listening here from afar.
Probably. Maybe somebody from Nebraska.
Are there people from Nebraska listening?
I think
Do they use Twitter?
They might.
Your listeners? Or is it only, even if they're on Facebook? I haven't checked Facebook, so if anyone's like shouting out, but if you want to say hi to anyone, Bernie, now's a good time. Hillary Clinton, maybe? Want to give her a wave?
Hillary, come on, let's do this.
We're going to have to talk about this in a second. All right.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to say hi to anyone. Okay.
I mean, my people.
That's not your thing.
I don't know. I'm shy.
So, Bernie, yes. I threw out this question on Twitter today. Who is the person you follow on Twitter who has been on Twitter the longest? I couldn't come up with a more concise way of really saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it might be you, but it's not.
It might. Yeah. Yeah.
I found someone who many of us follow who joined Twitter before you, and that's Matt.
Oh,
Matt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Shortly before you, maybe like 1 month, but
it might be.
You were an early adopter.
2006, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's early adoption.
Yeah. That's the reason why I got Bernie.
Why smart.
I am Bernie
Sanders.
That's right.
So how awful has the past year been for you and your Twitter mentions?
I don't notice it, actually.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it was kind of actually one funny story was I was out doing karaoke somewhere in Chinatown, and then I noticed that Roseanne Barr tweeted something.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I think I jumped into that conversation.
Right. And I was like, oh, hey, Roseanne. Yeah, I don't know. It's all on there.
She thought you were Bernie Sanders.
I guess. And then I think I made it pretty clear that I wasn't, but she carried on the conversation. And
yeah, she did. It was hilarious.
Who knows? Yeah, it's been kind of funny. Sometimes just mining wins a celebrity will just do at Bernie or whatever. And
do you ever write back and say, nope, look again, or you just ignore it?
Just ignore it. Yeah, I don't know.
And they're like, God, Bernie Sanders, he's too good for us. He won't even write back.
Yeah.
He's totally ignoring our tweets. That's so busy.
Yep. Way too busy.
The Roseanne, was that your the biggest...
that was the biggest celebrity...
Interaction.
Kerfluffle, I guess. The Bernie Sanders campaign actually reached out to me.
No way.
Before the campaign kicked in. I guess it was a little over a year ago. Actually, his campaign manager, chief of staff or somebody, reached out personally. He's like, oh, hey, would you be interested in selling your Twitter handle? And, you know, just some random guy, right? I'm like, no, you know.
Nice. Not sell out, Bernie.
That's right. And then he got back in touch. He's like, oh, well, I'm, you know, chief of staff or somebody from the Sanders organization, which, you know, made me kind of raise my eyebrow. He's like, would you be interested in talking, you know, about, you know, what would it take? And it's just, unless it's going to like put my kid through college or like, give me a down payment on a house or something like that. I'm like, nah, why bother?
Did they throw around numbers?
Nah, I didn't.
They didn't.
I didn't go that far. I probably should have.
You should have been a sellout. You should have been a sellout instead. Well, you know what? Who's going to last?
Yeah,
you, that's Bernie, right. Is going to last. Yeah,
and my goal is to be the canonical Bernie of the internet.
Canonical.
Just like, yeah.
So, nice.
And I was doing a good job of that until the stupid Sanders thing.
Stupid Bernie Sanders trying to ruin your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a real thorn in your side this whole year, Bernie Sanders.
But it's been good.
That's a great story.
It's funny.
That's a great story. Sorry, I was distracted by a phone call. It's so bizarre in this day and age when people call me. Who is calling me? Unknown phone numbers. Not happening. Not happening.
Do not pick up.
So back to your photo show. What are we calling it? Photo show, photo exhibit?
Well, I guess it's sort of a collection.
A collection.
Yeah.
The collection on display.
That's right.
Yeah. So you were very kind and you sent me some background information. Should I just read it?
I don't know. Did you read it?
Debris, 30 years of Bernie McGinn photos.
30 years is a long time.
Tonight, I strongly urge you. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to read this whole thing. 30 years is a long time. So, back to the skateboarding. I think this is really cool. I think it's cool that Thrasher magazine chose Lincoln, Nebraska, and not like Redondo Beach or something. Like,
yeah.
You know, why?
Skateboarding was already in Redondo Beach, to a certain extent, and they just needed to give at the time 1983 all the skate parks closed that were open in the early or the late 70s and early 80s. Most of them did.
Because they were a nuisance.
I think they just got too expensive. Insurance costs. I'm probably not. That probably contributed.
Yeah.
It probably just like any fad or whatever, you know, the skateboard industry has a ups and downs. And
okay.
Anyways,
so, they were
it was in the dumps. And so they just said, hey, let's go to Middle America and try to give this thing a shot in the arm.
That's rad.
Yeah.
And so when did you start skateboarding? How old were you?
I was probably eight or seven.
And do you have older siblings?
I do. I have two older sisters and a younger brother.
And did they skate?
My older sister, Terry, skated until she broke her leg.
Oh.
My little brother skated. He actually was pretty great. He's 10 years younger than I am.
Wow.
And he was like four or something, and he would ride his big wheel on the ramp.
That's awesome.
and he would get way up there.
Oh my god.
Did he have one by then? He probably did.
It was the 80s. No one wore a helmet.
And then we got him set up with a small skateboard, and he's this little thing, 5 years old, 6 years old, and like getting all the way to the top of the ramp. And yeah, so he's radical.
That is cool. That is really cool. Now, were you doing it so much that did you start to compete? Did you start to,
a little bit? Yeah. There was a contest circuit in the Midwest, okay. And we travel to Minneapolis or Chicago or Milwaukee.
You're like flying to these places.
Driving. My mom and dad would let me hop in the car with a bunch of 19 and 20 year old dudes to go to the skate contest in Chicago.
Education. Way to go, parents.
And when I was 14.
That's all right.
Yeah. So it was
driving the whole way.
Not the whole way.
It's all straight in the Midwest.
More or less.
You don't have to worry. It's not like you're driving on mountain roads or anything.
Right. Anyways.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was fun youth.
That is fun. Yeah. That's a great education. Get to travel. And then was there a time where you stopped? Like, did you ever feel like, oh, I'm getting too old for this? Or no, you just...
Actually, when my neighbors, they took down the ramp eventually because the neighbors really hated it.
Oh.
But we had a good run from probably 1983 to 1989.
Wow.
And then that summer 1989, it must be really noisy.
There's a noise factor.
There is a noise factor. And in the early days, it's like this, This as you're going back and forth on the plywood ramp, and the 2x4s underneath would make noise.
Yeah.
And then people would fall and they'd scream obscenities and. But my mom liked it because she knew where we were.
That's true.
It was just right over there.
What was the worst injury that happened on that half pipe?
I hope it's not really bad.
I'm going to feel bad by asking that question.
The most high profile, a pro skateboarder named Christian Hassoy,
mm-hmm.
That first year they all came around, broke his collarbone.
Oh, God.
He slammed. And what was kind of funny, my dad took him to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and Christian's dad didn't want any of these hick doctors to, like, look at him. So they didn't set his collarbone, like they waited until he got to California to see a doctor.
Oh my god.
Anyways, really silly. I don't know, people got knocked out occasionally.
Oh, yeah, you know. Broken collarbone.
Yeah,
that's broken, not too wrist. Bad as soon as
saw
that
a couple broken wrists. My sister broke her femur really good.
Yeah,
it happens.
But as soon as I asked that question, I'm like, oh god, I hope no one got paralyzed. Yeah, I'm like, baby, I don't want to know the answer to this question. That's crazy. And so you Lincoln, Nebraska, and then according to this article.
Yeah.
Should I read this here? This is my horrible impersonation of Zach Galifianakis, by the way.
Okay.
Let me read to you the article that you sent me. So you ended up in L.A.
I did for just a short period of time. In the mid-80s, I did a black and white Xerox skate zine called mm-hmm. Tiki.
Tiki.
T-I-K.
Was it an acronym?
No, it spun out of like Tiki, the Tiki Idol.
Yeah.
I was like 14 or 15.
Explain yourself, Bernie.
Anyway, so what ended up happening was I met through the mail and through trading different skate and music zines, some guys who lived in Torrance, California, who were also did skate zines, but then they also worked for a real magazine. One was called Freestylin' Bike Magazine.
Yeah.
And the other one was called Homeboy. which was a sort of a hybrid skateboarding and freestyle bike magazine.
Are either of these still around today?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got to meet those guys, a guy named Andy Jenkins, a guy named Mark Lumen, and a guy named Spike Jones.
A guy named Spike Jones.
And so
suddenly something I'm familiar with.
And got to meet those guys. I think a week after I graduated high school, me and some friends piled in my mom's car and we drove to Hermosa Beach and hung out with those guys for a week.
That's so cool.
And I basically told Andy, I was like, hey, like, you should hire me. You should hire me as a photographer or darkroom tech or whatever.
Something.
Or janitor or whatever.
Yeah.
And it seemed apparently like doable. So I told my parents, hey, I'm not going to college this first year. I think something's going to happen.
Taking a gap year.
Something big's going to happen. And then in November of that year, they said, yeah, hey, we've got a job for you. So come on out.
That's so rad.
And so I lived with Lou and Spike and another guy and in their kitchen or their living room.
The article says dining room.
Oh, dining room.
Which
yeah,
is
that's
it?
What it was.
Get your story straight. No, that's fact cool. Check. Yeah, you curtained off. It sounds very 2016 San Francisco. You like piled in with these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Curtained off some space
sort
for yourself.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what people do.
Yeah, and then the magazine folded like 6 months later, and I went back to Nebraska.
Okay.
So.
That's all right.
Yeah, but it was a good adventure.
And they all knew each other. Did they all go to school together?
No,
or they just knew each other from...
They worked at the same magazine.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So, and then, yeah, just did that for a little while.
That's really cool.
There's a kind of a whole, collection of photography in the show. What are we calling it? Collection? I don't know. Whatever.
The show exhibit collection.
Yeah, yeah. That thing. So there's kind of a whole era of like 1988 and 89 skateboarding in Southern California from
Spike
that time
skating
period.
Around? No.
He's a good skateboarder.
Was he?
Yeah.
He looks like he would be.
Yeah.
I'm totally stereotyping. Yeah. Is that like, yeah, he's got that hair. He's got that hair that kind of is a really thin and like swoops to one side a little bit.
Right.
Smart guy.
Then I went back to Nebraska and started up my band again and started a record label. And
oh, so you had a band before?
Yeah, I was along all that time.
You had the band before,
rock.
And then you popped on out to Hermosa Beach.
Yeah, Torrance, California.
You were like, listen, band.
Yeah, I had
to
break up
together.
The band. Yeah,
we're getting back together. What was the name of your band?
The band was called Sideshow.
Nice.
And the record label was called Caulfield Records.
Done. Nice.
There we
and
go.
Is that who you ended up, Caulfield Records,
mm-hmm.
is that who you ended up working with or for? What were you telling me about going back to Lincoln recently?
Oh,
or
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Is that separate?
I went back to Lincoln about 2 weeks ago to do a presentation on like my history as a Lincoln musician.
He's a legend.
Apparently.
You're a Lincoln legend.
I don't know.
Oh, you should get a t-shirt.
It makes
Lincoln
me,
yeah. legend.
makes me a little uncomfortable.
Sideshow, I like it. So you put out an album.
Several albums.
Several albums.
Yeah, and 7 inches. And so I started the record label to put out music by my band,
uh-huh.
because nobody else would. Some DIY, right? And then put out like a couple 7 inches, a 12-inch record. Then I was the guy with the record label. And then the bands that I liked who were going to put out their own record, I said, oh, let's stamp this name, Caulfield Records, on it. And
so
I'll get distribution for it. And then it just kind of continued.
That was all you. How old were you?
It started when I was 17. The first record.
Bernie, that's crazy.
I conned my mom into co-signing a loan
yeah.
for $600 to get the first record out.
You have the best parents in the world.
I do.
That is so cool.
And then that kind of was pretty active from 1991 to 2003, 2005 or so.
Okay.
Put out probably 40 records from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nice.
Hotbed of
you
indie
really
rock.
Are a legend.
I don't know.
So
stop
who
it.
who else would if you threw out names of other bands from Lincoln, what
well there's a
your label or not.
There was a good band called Mercy Rule.
Uh-huh.
there was a band from Austin, Texas called Mineral. They were kind of this emo kind of thing. They just played at Slim's and with Hum.
Yeah.
In last spring, last February. Anyways, a band called Christy Front Drive. They're from Denver.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, yeah, just...
That's so cool. Do you have any of their music on your playlist?
No.
No. Sorry.
That would be too self, too self-promoting. I'm already really uncomfortable talking
really?
About... Well, I don't know. I'm just...
Nobody's listening. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
It's cool. I got like 5 friends and you've got a couple friends listening to the show. So it's cool. It's not right. really self-promotion.
Well,
it's old news. It's not, you know,
it is old.
Your self-promotion is your current show and that's what you're here for. And that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should be proud of that. It's not
self-promotion. I've got other music that
you're a 17 year old
record label magnet.
What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I just lost the word. Never mind. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's not genius. I wasn't going to use the word genius.
Yeah, good. I can handle legend, but genius is
yeah,
really.
No, I think that's pretty amazing. That's pretty cool.
I was pretty lucky.
That kind of thing it happens differently now. You know, it doesn't happen like that. You don't have to go get a loan. And what were you like? Who was actually physically making? Were you making the records? Like,
right.
Who's? It's not like you're like making tapes in your garage.
Right. Well, we did that first.
First, yeah.
But then we were like, no, real bands, you know, need a vinyl record.
Yeah.
Right? And figured out some place in Kansas that was
press vinyl.
You know, press vinyl, and then I worked at a record store, uh-huh. and I got the guy, the buyer of the records, hooked me up with the distributors that he bought records from, and so I was like, okay, pick up 25 or 50 of these records, and we eventually sold out, and I paid back the loan, and
that's so cool.
Yeah, anyways,
it was really
good.
Cool.
And it's pretty interesting the way that whole being in a band or being in a record label or running a record label is so different today, or it was mm-hmm. so different then
mm-hmm.
in the pre-internet era. Booking shows, for example, is like
you had to use the telephone.
You had $400 telephone bills.
Oh, like, no way!
When we book our tours, it was such a nightmare.
Did you have an agent, or was it just you doing?
No, it was just me.
Yeah, you were just calling bars, like calling
pretty much. Yeah, hi.
Bars, clubs.
Hi, we're this band from Nebraska. Can we play your club? And oftentimes they'd go, "What, Nebraska? Yes, of course. That's crazy. You're a band from Nebraska. Come play."
Uh huh. Where was your biggest market? Like, would you go to Chicago a lot?
Chicago was good. We would play DC a lot.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you
got it. We always had good shows. We got to play CBGB's.
No.
Which was really cool. There were only 5 people in the audience, but it was still CBGB's.
Yeah.
So that was
cool.
Check. We came out to the West Coast one tour. So Gilman Street. I think I had meant... Did I mention Gilman Street earlier?
You did, yeah.
It was kind of a legendary punk club. At the end of the show, they said... hey, sorry, you know, there's not a lot of money at the door, but we do have this garbage bag full of dumpster-dived bagels that you can have.
Oh, man.
So
seriously?
We got paid in...
Stale bagels?
Stale bagels.
What the fuck, Berkeley? The hell kind of bullshit is that? I'd be like, are these even
yeah.
organic or yeah. locally sourced
yeah.
bagels?
Yeah. I don't think they were from the Berkeley Bowl. But anyways, it's hilarious. It's good.
Dang. Who are your influences?
I mean, musically it was like Fugazi,
uh-huh.
like all the Discord record stuff was huge. Yeah, I'll just leave it at
that. Okay,
that
all right. I know,
the right mile
question.
Marker.
I am no Terry Gross.
You're doing great.
Who are your influences? No, it's curious. I haven't heard your music, so, and I'm not going to today, apparently.
Yeah.
You didn't bring any.
Tough luck.
Sideshow, everybody look it up. Are you on Spotify?
You know what's really embarrassing? It's not on any of the services at the moment. I need to fix that.
Embarrassing, but you could fix that.
I can fix it very easily. It's just the fact that it was like a really important band, and I've been busy.
Protecting it.
Busy with lifing.
And were you the singer?
I was.
Did you play anything too?
Singer. I played bass.
Oh, okay.
Bass and hollered a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, I had big hair.
Bigger than you do now?
I'll show you.
I'm kidding. Yeah. You had big hair? Yeah, I want to see.
Yeah, maybe we'll tweet a photo of my big hair.
We should tweet a photo. You can tweet it, and I'll retweet it out.
I'll get it out to you.
My pal Olu wants to know, did you play the 930 Club?
We didn't play the 9:30 Club. It was we played what was the other one? Black Cat.
Black Cat.
The Black Cat a lot. Well, I remember trying to get shows at the 9:30 Club.
Yeah.
But
and were they like, you're from Nebraska? No.
Yeah.
Where everyone else was like, you're from Nebraska? Come on in.
Yeah. The people at the Black Cat were exactly like that. They're like, of course you're from Nebraska. This is crazy. Yes, come play at our club.
Yeah, that is a real rarity, unless we're mistaken. That seems like. Yeah.
But when we were playing music, there was like a second wave of Nebraska music, which was the Saddle Creek Records, Cursive, Bright Eyes, Conor Oberst, The Faint, all that.
I didn't know you was from there.
Yeah, that's all from Omaha.
That's why you
said and those guys used to like open up shows for our bands and stuff like that. So
no.
We know all those. That's why I always go to the Rooster Stage.
I was just saying, that's why you're sitting up there. You know them.
Yeah.
You know them for real. Know them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you go backstage?
I try to, what did I do last year? I snuck backstage, cause I didn't have a pass, but I asked Connor if I could use his bathroom.
And of course he said yes, cause he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he gave me a nice little hug.
Did he?
Yeah, he's a good hugger.
He seems like a nice guy. Yeah. I like his new album. I don't know if you had a chance to listen.
I haven't had a chance to listen to that. Yeah. He's written a lot of music.
Just came out. He has. Yeah. I didn't know he was from, he's from Omaha.
Yep.
Okay.
No idea. They've done this, spun up their whole scene into really impressive, besides the record label, the whole group has a really amazing recording studio, a couple clubs and bars and stuff. They're just.
In Omaha?
Yeah.
Okay. They never budged. They just stayed there. They live there. Yeah, why not? Nice.
Good stuff. Nebraska.
Let's break and play some music. So you've got a plethora. Let's save the Connor friendly stuff for the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
what do we want to play?
I mean we're still in that
How about this one? Sorry, let me
tease. Don't be.
It's more of the oops, don't stop. I didn't mean to do that.
Nobody
more,
heard it.
More punk rock.
Yeah, talking about that.
Yeah, this is the punk women playlist.
Yeah. Oh, I was kind of hoping you would do that, but you're the guest, so you get to decide.
All right. Let's see if this works.
Let's do it. There you go.
Hold her head up so is a boy. He's very thin. Until tomorrow, took heroin, don't like himself.
Hello.
Oops, I turned us down.
Did check.
That was fun. I like that playlist. That was cool.
The what? What?
That playlist.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
Not just because they're ladies.
I just liked it.
Punk rock women are good.
How current, uncurrent is that?
Not very current at all, actually. The first song was Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill.
Yep.
So what, that was like 1993 or something like that. Second song was X-Ray Specs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 1977. And then the last song was The Slits, and that was about 1977 too.
Not current at all. Sounds like it could be.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Way ahead of their time. Yeah.
Way ahead of their time. Nice.
I love it.
Nice choices.
Thanks.
Thanks for bringing them in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we have an important update, which I'm going to tweet out momentarily. There is an important hair update. You guys.
Look out.
That is some big ass hair.
Fire in the hole.
Ow!
Hair.
Sad show. So, where are the other guys in the band these days? What are they up to?
Rich and Paul.
They look like nice guys.
Yeah, they are. They're wonderful guys. They're in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And Paul is playing drums with a band called Domestica, and they're great. And Rich is starting up a new band.
Fun.
Yeah. So they're still doing it.
They're both in
Lincoln.
Both in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Way to go, Lincoln.
Yeah, it's a good
place. I never in my entire life thought I'd be talking about Lincoln, Nebraska this much. I love it. New things for 2016. Speaking of that, and music,
mm-hmm.
Who's on your radar? Do you have any things calendared? Any shows calendared? Let me back up a second. So you and I feel like we often kind of miss each other.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll see your pictures and I'm like, oh yeah, I thought about going to that show or what. I call him a show buddy.
Okay.
He picks out shows and he's like, Michelle, you want to come? Yeah. All right. I pretty much always say yes. very rarely, to my chagrin, except recently there was one bad show, but I'm really, I am kind of a go with the flow. I just like to check things out, but I'm not doing tons of reading. I'm not doing tons of listening. Yep. I can't retain band names very frequently. Okay. I'm just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I know what I like when I hear it.
Right.
So I'll go and check things out. So the point of all of this is that my finger is not as much on the pulse as maybe it seems like it is. It's not. I go to these things.
You know,
I'm
people.
A tag along.
You know,
I know people. I like to hang out. I like to go see these things, and I almost always have fun. Unlike yourself, who I think make a pointed, you know, you seem to have a layout much like my show buddy does. Like, I want to see this. I want to see that.
I try to pay attention. Know. I'm
it's
pretty
not like
hopelessly...
you're just like going to the rickshaw stop because it's Tuesday. Like, let me just go.
Yeah, this is that does
do
not
that.
Happen.
No.
I try to pay attention. Like earlier this year, we were at the same show, Beach Slang.
We were.
Yeah.
That was such a good show.
It was really good. I had never seen them before. I had just kind of been listening to some of the buzz or whatever about the band. And I was like, okay, I'll go shoot some photos. Hopefully it'll be good. And it was great. One of the photos from the show is that in the exhibit.
Is it?
In the collection or whatever it's called these days. And, so that was great. Who else was really good? I just saw the Poster Children.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the bands I see are like reunion shows.
Okay,
and the band, the Poster Children, they're from Champaign, Illinois, and they're doing a kind of a 25-year anniversary of an album.
Crazy. Yeah.
And they just played Bottom in the Hill, and they were great. Coming up, again, like old school punk rock, this band called The Weirdos.
Yeah.
They're from L.A. They're like the Sex Pistols of the United States. Like 1977, they were doing it. And so
damn.
They're like, you know, early 60s, but just still going for
Weirdos.
It.
Weirdos, where are they playing?
They're playing Halloween, and it's escaping me where they're playing. And then early December, Mike Watt is playing in Pacifica at Winter's Tavern.
At Winter's Tavern?
Yeah.
No way.
Random. So I'm totally going to do that. And the plan is I'm going to bring in one of the skateboards.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So one of the,
nice.
For context for the listeners out there, as part of the photo collection.
Collection of show exhibit.
Paisley Skateboards did a limited run of skateboards using two of my photos, one of a Kurt Cobain photo and one of Mike Watt.
Nice.
And so I took the Mike Watt photo in 1987 in Lincoln, and now it's on the bottom of a skateboard. It's really, really awesome.
He's going to be honored. Does he know about it?
No,
he doesn't.
Yeah.
You're going to have him sign it, or you're just going to give it to him?
I'm just going to give it to him. Here you go. Maybe he's got like a nephew or something that needs a skateboard. I don't know.
That's so nice, Bernie.
Try.
So most of your photos, from what I can tell, are of artists. Or how much of it is skateboarding photos at the show collection exhibit? Uh-huh. How much of it is skateboarding? How much of it is
I tried to
artists?
Keep it about 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And also about 50-50 skateboarding, 50-50 music.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, 50-50 skateboarding, 50-50 music, and then also half and half old and new.
Nice.
Yeah.
That works. And then is there an artist photo that you are either most proud of or you think is the most unique or the most most popular, maybe? Was there one that people were really gravitating to?
The Kurt Cobain one is really
because what
good.
Year did you take that?
It was 1990. In Lincoln, again, just right up front of the stage.
Right up front. All of your, and that is your style. They're all right up front.
Yeah.
And that was 1990, so you must have had a flash camera.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so that must have kind of pissed some people off sometimes. No? Or was it a regular occurrence? Is there a lot of flashing going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I think there's some maybe etiquette. A lot of photographers that you see at shows today are not using flash.
Yeah.
Because, like, granted, it's kind of annoying when a flash is going pop, 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 you know, and it's a little bit distracting.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's also not opera, so there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I that's what that's how I take photos. That's like the style of photo that, like, up front, like camera in somebody's face.
Yeah, there's kind of, you're not zooming. You're there.
Kind
you're
of right blurry action shot, capturing some energy. And so I try not, I hopefully I don't annoy people too much by taking too many flash photos, but
a lot of sweat flying around.
Yes.
So nobody's ever, has anyone ever gotten pissed off and been like, knock it off?
None of the artists have.
No. Okay, cool.
One funny thing happened. I was at a punk show in Oakland. There's this, can I swear?
Yo, yeah.
Okay. There's this punk band called Gloss.
Uh-huh.
That's
not a swear word.
It stands for Girls Living Outside Society's Shit.
Hmm.
Okay. And they've got this transsexual singer. Uh-huh. And she is awesome. Actually, her band played that Beach Slang show. Her other band, and I'm blanking on the name of her other band.
Anyways, opened?
Yeah, they opened. Okay, sorry. Anyways.
We're going to have to look it up.
We'll look it up. It's on the internet. Anyway, so it was kind of this modern Riot Girl kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, okay, all the girls to the front, right? And so here's the middle-aged dude uh-huh. with a camera, like white,
yeah,
cis white male, you know, up front. And this young woman, like, kind of grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. She's like, get back there! And I'm like, hey, you know, smash the patriarchy. It's all good, you know, whatever. I'm just
trying to take your picture, yeah. Man. Photojournalism. Yeah.
But they were, that band was so great. Like, it was a hardcore band.
Yeah.
And, but also great energy. And that was the only show recently where I thought that my camera was really going to get smashed by somebody.
Okay.
Because people are just stage
that
diving.
That one earlier this year?
Yeah, the Gloss show.
The Gloss show. Yeah, so, that was my next question. I mean, yeah. If you're right up front for that, are you ducking in and out? Are you wearing your camera around your neck? Like, are you using an iPhone? What are you doing these days when you take your pictures?
I've got a Sony A6000. Okay. So it's a small mirrorless camera.
Okay.
I totally gloss over on all the specs and stuff. About
yeah.
Somebody was like, hey, this is a good camera. I can actually use some of my old film lenses on it, which is cool.
Wow.
So anyways, I take that. It's not super fancy. It was like a $600 kit with a lens, and like I'd be bummed if it got smashed,
right.
But it wouldn't be like, oh, my Leica.
Right.
Anyway. That's just kind of the cost of doing business. I think if like the same way with skateboarding, right?
Yeah.
You're up front, like you may get a foot in the face or a skateboard kicked into your lens or whatever. And you like,
carry on
that. Yeah. That's the cost of getting the shot.
That's right.
I have a funny story.
Tell it.
I didn't get the shot this weekend.
Tell me.
My daughter is doing rowing and or crew, I guess it's called. And we went to her first regatta, I guess it is.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
It was in Alameda and along the estuary. Anyways, pretty neat. And we were standing on this bridge, and I wanted to get the shot of them going underneath this bridge. And then I failed. I just totally, like, I got a picture of the oar.
What happened?
I just failed. I was trying to, it didn't work.
Don't they have, like, you can, like, press a button and it takes, like, 50 pictures, like a flurry of pictures in a row.
It was just an epic photo fail.
Oh, yeah. Sure, you can get all of these guys, but you can't get a picture of me going under the bridge.
Exactly. Sorry.
You can risk your face going into the pit for a photo. So, no, really, like, are you standing up there? I'm curious, do you mm-hmm. duck in and out of the pit, or do you stay up there and you're just like up there? Are you one or five shots and then you hope you got one and you duck out, or do you stand up there and jumping around? What's your style, Bernie?
I'll stay up there.
You will?
Like, yeah. If I'm having fun, yeah. Like, it's kind of just part of the whole thing,
yeah.
Right? And yeah, I just like to be up front in the mix of it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You're not going to go see the Orwells in a couple of weeks?
I'm not.
Oh, they're so good.
Should I?
Yeah, they're fun.
Where do they play?
Bottom of the Hill.
Okay.
Yeah. On a Friday night for like $20. It's steep.
Wow. $20.
They're serious. They got serious all of a sudden.
Dang. Where are they from?
They are from, I want to say, Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they're from Columbus or Cincinnati.
And they're from Columbus. Rock and roll?
They are garage.
Okay.
Yeah. They're fun. That's all I can say about it. I'm like, they're fun.
What's on your show?
Plus, the guy's name is Mario.
Oh,
and what's not to like about Mario?
Mr. Mario
Orwell. With blonde, stringy hair.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the only thing on my radar.
Okay.
That's the only thing on my radar. Beach Slang was one of the best shows I saw this year.
Yep.
Summer Cannibals.
I missed them.
I was in New York. You were in New York. That was a bad show, but that wasn't their fault. That was at the Hemlock, and
it just didn't work out.
It was bad technically.
Okay.
And then on top of it, then they started getting pissed off about it.
Mm.
And there was like a little war with the sound guy.
The feel bad rainbow was happening. Everybody was.
Yeah. So it kind of went downhill, and they were kind of like, fuck it at the end. And they walked off. But it was bad leading up to that. Like, everyone's like, oh man, the sound is awful. I shouldn't talk about bands that were bad. I saw another one that was not so great recently.
Yeah.
That just, it wasn't my style.
It happens.
It was a dude band. It was like a frat boy band. It just wasn't my thing. I'm a 41-year-old mom. I was like, okay. When did the band come on? I'm like, oh, this is them. This is them. I don't like them at all.
Yeah.
No, they weren't
my thing. You're like, wow, I could be in bed.
Yeah. And that was after... That was Saturday night after all day at Harley Strictly.
Ew.
So it could have been me.
I went on Friday night after Harley Strictly. I went to see a Devo cover band.
You did?
Yes.
Where?
At your Hotel Utah.
Nice.
They're called Suburban Robots.
Yeah.
And they're actually playing, I think, on the 4th or the 9th or something. Yeah. I highly recommend.
Were they really good? That's so
funny.
There's
some Twitter friends, actually. Who are in that band?
Are they in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
we should tweet it out.
Yeah, Suburban Robots.
Suburban Robots.
Go check it.
They have a handle.
They do. They're on the Twitters. So I recommend that.
What I did not do on Friday night was walk from Golden Gate Park to bottom of the hill, like my other crazy pals did, to end up at a sold out show.
Oof.
And now I'm blanking on who they even went to see. So this is a dumb story. But it was somebody we missed at the show on Friday. And so they went to go try to see them that night. And
there's got
to
be a way to find out whether it's sold out or not before you walk.
You like, would think so. But
5 miles.
You know, you were just feeling good. And they started walking. And one of them had a bike. So there was no Uber or option. So they just...
Just go for it.
And I wasn't sad. I said no to that plan.
Miracles can happen sometimes, but
sometimes, yeah, they
not
got
always.
There and I was sold out. Got some good exercise that day. All right. I just lost my train of thought. That's okay. I can't believe nobody's ever gotten mad at you at a show. Did you see? Did you see Diet Sig?
I did not.
No. They were like 15 years old. You know, you were talking about being 17 and being a band. All right, maybe they weren't 15, but they were definitely teenagers. Youth.
Yeah.
You know, they have to wear the ID band. Like, they don't get stamped. So you notice that when they're on stage, you're like, oh my God, they're not even 21. They can't
been,
even.
Been there.
Right?
Yeah, that's great.
It is kind of great. It's cool. And she was, so the lead is a girl, a young girl. She's not 21. And they're from New York. Yeah, they were a little crazy. They're not totally my style, but they had good energy. It was fun to see them.
Nice.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't have a lot on my radar.
All right.
The Orwells I recommend, though.
I'll check it out.
Check them out. They're on Spotify on, like, Sideshow. I probably shouldn't promote Spotify. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but that's how I can dip in and listen to things pretty quickly.
There you go.
What other playlists you got for us?
I think, do you want to hear the rock and roll?
Yeah, let's hear some rock and roll.
I love rock and roll.
You love it. You were it.
So let's put another dime in the iPhone, baby. This is all stuff from the 50s and 60s.
Oh, nice. I like it because I wanna. All right.
And
I got a segment idea.
It's this first song is my favorite karaoke song when they have it.
Oh, it's okay. your standard, your Bernie standard.
Yeah. They don't. It's kind of a weird. It's by the Beatles, but it's a weird
one
to do.
So obscure.
I know. So check it out. Ready? Set.
Okay.
Why don't we do it in the road?